Week 8 NFL DraftKings main slate breakdown. This is the First and Six podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. I greatly appreciate all the support thus far this season. I'm sorry about the bye week last week. Had to do a lot of travel for work and was going down to Champaign for the Illinois versus Michigan game. Illinois pulled out the W. I don't even like that team, but it was a fun game. I think Illinois' quarterback won. Luke Altmaier threw for like 57 yards or 87 yards. It was well under 100, I believe, but don't fact check me there. It felt like it was, at least. But glad week seven's over. Honestly, glad I didn't do a podcast because it was a disaster for me. I didn't hit cash, didn't hit GPPs, was way too heavy on Tyler Huntley on the GPP side of things. But we did talk a lot on the Sunday live stream about the value in Jonnu Smith. So we had a ton of Win Daily members send a lot of awesome winning screenshots. Noah, I don't know if there's a takedown, but a lot of good, like, upper to mid-tier cash, which we love to see in the GPP side of things. So if you haven't yet, sign up for WinDailySports.com using the promo code STIX. That is STIX. But for me, it was a disaster. And I believe I had four bets. All did not get to the window. All losers, which is wild. Getting a little cold the past 2 weeks there. So I'm also traveling again this weekend, so probably will be pretty light. But obviously went pretty heavy on Tyreek Hill, over 55.5 yards. I don't even know if he had 10 yards. Calvin Ridley, over 3.5 receptions. I still love that play. He only got 3, but 9 targets. It's just, you know, whatever. I don't need to talk about the process being right, but the results not being there. All you guys care about is the results. But let's get to week 8. Huge slate, 13 games. I don't know why they keep doing all this weird shit. No one's on bye this week. I don't understand that, but we'll go through the laundry list of injuries, as we will likely see every single week in the middle of the season. We'll start with Baltimore. There's kind of a lot to watch there. Both DBs, Marlon Humphrey and Nate Wiggins, are highly questionable. Zay Flowers is questionable. I think he'll go. And then they're probably their best defensive tackle, Travis Jones, also questionable. So this is Thursday morning. So a lot of this is immature information. A lot of guys don't practice on Wednesday and Thursday, especially, you know, a lot of the veterans. So keep an eye on it. For Cleveland, obviously Jameis is going to go at QB1 now in Cleveland. Jerome Ford, highly questionable. Linebacker Jordan Hicks, questionable. Wyatt Teller, which is good news for the Cleveland Browns on the offensive line there, is back. And then Jedrick Willis, offensive tackle, is questionable for the Colts. They will welcome back DeForest Buckner. I'm assuming he's going to be back. And also Jonathan Taylor. That is good for them. Josh Downs, Michael Pittman didn't practice on Wednesday. I'm sure they're fine. Same with Ryan Kelly. I'm sure he is fine. Should be good to go there. So the Indianapolis Colts getting a lot of firepower back. For Houston, Al-Jair, Jimmy Ward, still highly questionable. Did not play last week, but Henry Tuatu should be getting through the concussion protocol and going to be good to go there. But without Al-Jair and Jimmy Ward, those are still two big run stoppers. But Henry Toto being back is big. Or Tuatu? I don't know. I don't know how to say that. If you guys know, let me know how to say it. That'd be good news. I appreciate that. For Green Bay, linebacker Quay Walker likely out with a concussion. And then, honestly, keep an eye out on two of their best pass blockers and probably run blockers, Elgton Jenkins, who usually doesn't practice on Wednesday. So, again, that's all the information I have. That does not mean a whole lot, so do not panic. And then Josh Myers. So both are highly questionable on that line. But I would assume Elgton Jenkins goes. But Josh Myers, that's an interesting one. Let's keep an eye on that, because that game has a lot of fantasy sex appeal. But if they're both out, I don't know. I'm just assuming Jordan Love's going to be chalk. We'll get to ownership here in a bit. But yeah, if they're both out, I don't know. Maybe a game to fade. I don't know. That's your call. Jaguars, pretty solid. Other than their best pass blocker, Cam Robinson is likely out with a concussion. We should see Travis Etienne return. For Tennessee, who gives a shit, but L'Jarius Sneed is out again. Saw Buffalo carve them up in the passing game, running game, like literally everything. So they need L'Jarius Sneed. But yeah, doesn't look like a whole lot else that is noticeable other than him likely being out with that quad injury. For Detroit, looks pretty good. Jameson Williams obviously suspended 2 games for PEDs, I guess. So maybe he's juicing. I don't know what he's doing, but not playing. So maybe a bump up to Tim Patrick or Khalif Raymond. I don't know. Don't know if we want to roll the dice with those guys. For Atlanta, it is pretty clean. Looks like just one of the linemen, Ryan Nunzel. He's a really good run blocker, is questionable with a knee injury. For Tampa Bay, my notes here say everyone's dead. No Evans, no Godwin's obviously out for the year. Bucky Irving is nursing, I believe, what is a semi-serious toe injury. We'll see what's going on there. And then Tiki Smith, who's one of the like best rookie DBs in the draft class, is balling out this year. He is likely out with a concussion. So, I mean, I don't know if Tampa Bay can keep pace, but I would love this spot for Drake London and Mooney, and honestly Pitts too, but who knows? I just don't see Tampa Bay being able to score. So I'm sure Atlanta D's at 2,600 is going to be pretty popular on DraftKings. For the Jets, one of their best coverage safeties, I think an Illinois guy too, Tony Adams is highly questionable. Right guard Elijah Vera Tucker, who's a great blocker in general, highly questionable. And Alan Lazard nursing a chest injury. Keep an eye on that for the Pats. I don't know if anything matters there, but linebacker Anthony Jenkins is a great run stopper. I guess one of the only ones they have is highly questionable. And then Jalen Polk will likely out with a concussion. Then Arizona. Arizona-Miami is low-key a game that I do kind of like with Tua coming back. So for Miami, Tua is likely back. And nickel corner Kader Kauhu is highly questionable. I wish he would play. He's brutal. And I think that Marv is going to move all around the formation. This should be a great spot for him. But I can't imagine if Kader is starting that who's ever behind him is very good. So we'll keep an eye on that. And then for Arizona, a lot to watch on the defense there. Roy Lopez, Dennis Gardeck, the linebacker, and DB Sean Murphy Bunting, who we've seen be a very solid NFL player, are all questionable. So that is one that I am interested in seeing mature throughout the week. For the Eagles, pretty clean. Right guard Mekhi Becton, obviously a great run blocker, is probably out with a concussion. And then pass rusher Byron Young, highly questionable. For the Bengals on the other side, honestly, it looks pretty clean. You know, Dax Hill was put on IR a couple weeks ago. Other than that, it's like they're, you know, as long as Trey Hendrickson's there, like that guy's a game wrecker. For New Orleans, I don't even know if we need to talk about that game. Does anybody care? But Derek Carr's, you know, still going to be out, I'm sure. Cesar Ruiz, they definitely need him back. Alvin Kamara needs him back. That running game needs him back. He is likely back. Taysom Hill, likely back. Chris Olave, likely back. Still have no interest. For the Chargers, Hayden Hurst is probably out again. Joey Bosa should be welcome back. DJ Chark, hopefully making his debut. I believe Quentin Johnson is probably going to miss this game. Keep an eye on Ladd McConkey. I think he just, you know, doesn't practice on Wednesdays anymore. He's been banged up, getting a lot of usage. So keep an eye there. For the Bills, linebacker and run stopper Terrell Bernard, highly questionable. Teron Johnson, the nickel corner, should be back. For Seattle, you know, it sucks. This should be a really fun game, but DK Metcalf is probably going to be out. Trey Brown is still highly questionable, but on the other side, Reek Woolen should be back for the DBs in Seattle. For the Bears, DBs Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon, highly questionable, but on the other side, Jaden Daniels, highly questionable. Kansas City, Juju out. Other than that, pretty clean. I think they should kick the shit out of Las Vegas, but we'll see what happens. I don't know who's playing quarterback for Las Vegas. I think we'll see Aiden O'Connell again, but we'll figure out what happens there. Harrison Bryant is going to be out. And both of their best blockers, blindside tackle, Colton Miller, he's highly questionable. And Dylan Parham, highly questionable for Carolina. Andy Dalton out. Yikes. Bryce Young experiment again. No interest there. Jonathan Brooks may be back, though. That'll be fun to see. Interested to see the Texas running back make his season debut. Hopefully that is this week. And, you know, decent matchup on the ground against Denver. Not great. And then defensive end, Ashawn Robinson, highly questionable too. For Denver, it looks pretty clean. Patrick Surtain is back. Let's dive into these games, and we will start with the Baltimore Ravens going to the Cleveland Browns. We have an opening total of 44.5. Baltimore was laying 9 to start. We still have 44.5 at the total. Most books right now have Baltimore laying 8.5. So a great run script, obviously, for Derrick Henry. Coming off a really big workload on Monday night. Don't mind that. For Cleveland's D, we're going to see a ton of man coverage, a lot of cover one, a little bit of cover three, a ton of blitz. So honestly, against the blitz, it's going to be a bump in the baseline for Rashad Bateman. Like him a lot this week. Just don't really love the potential volume here as they're a 9-point favorite. A little bump to Mark Andrews and a little bump to Zay Flowers, who is dealing with a little bit of an ankle injury. Against that cover one, so that man covers, that is Zay and Bateman all day long. Against the cover three, that is Zay. On the other side, we do have Jameis Winston starting, so I don't know. Baltimore's defense has been really, really good. Obviously, Cedric Tillman came out swinging last week. I don't hate that. It should be a pass-happy script for Cleveland, and obviously, Dorsey's going to be the coordinator now and call the plays, so we should see a lot more passing, and it's Jameis, too. Like, we have seen him put up huge numbers, but also throw 3 or 4 picks a game. On the quarterback side of things in ownership, I see Lamar right at 6, Jameis at 5. I think that's probably accurate. I think a 13-game slate definitely spreads out the ownership a little bit. Probably not a spot I want to pay $8K for Lamar Jackson. Just don't see the ceiling here. $5,200 for Jameis and what should be comeback mode from the jump. I don't hate it, but it's Jameis Winston. I don't know if I want to put a egg in that basket at all, but I get it from a game script theory. On the running back side of things, Derrick Henry is going to be like 1% owned. No one's going to play him. I think it's a great spot for him, but it's $8,100. Doesn't catch the football a whole lot. Did catch a touchdown, I think, last week. But yeah, Cleveland running backs, no interest. It should be Jerome Ford coming back, but obviously Nick Chubb's going to be on a little bit of a pitch count. Not chasing the Justice Hill success or anything like that. Wide receiver side of things, Jerry Jeudy at $4,800. I'm seeing over 10% ownership. I think that's probably fair. I would assume Cedric Tillman at $3,300 gets a lot of ownership just for a punt type of play, an educated punt type of play. He's running a ton of routes, not going to leave the field. Should be out there in two wide receiver sets, too. I think Elijah Moore would be the odd man out there. Interested to see how much Jameis actually looks Elijah's way in the slot. Hasn't really been something that we've seen out of Jameis throughout his career. Zay Flowers, $6,800, 5% owned. Again, like, yeah, you could torch Cleveland. They're secondary has been pretty bad. The pass rush is still pretty good, but yeah, I don't know. Not really interested in this game. Tight ends, Njoku, $5,100. No, there's no ownership in this game. Isaiah Likely, I'm seeing 8%. There's no way. Mark Andrews, 4K, 5%. Like, people will probably chase those points a little bit. I think both defenses are in play. The next game is Tennessee and Detroit. We're probably going to fly through that one. Opening total of 45. Detroit laying 11. They are now laying 11.5 or 12, depending on where you're looking, with a total of 44.5. I mean, I don't even know if I went through coverages in that game just because it's like, yeah, I don't care. All right, so Tennessee, we're going to see a ton of cover four, which is surprising. It's like they just play bend, don't break, and hope their red zone defense can hold them to a field goal. The issue is they can't score 3 points on the other side of offense, so I don't know what they're doing. Like, you got to try to create turnovers or you're going to get your ass kicked either way. Not really blitzing, but I have an advantage here for Amon-Ra St. Brown and whoever the wide receiver two is. I'm assuming Tim Patrick with some checkdowns to Gibbs because not a lot of blitz there. The flats should be pretty open too against that cover four. For Detroit, a lot of man coverage, a ton of blitz as we know. For Tennessee, my notes wrote, who cares? And Calvin Ridley's banged up. DeAndre Hopkins is gone. Like, it should be a great game script for Ridley, but who knows? Quarterbacks, going to be no ownership, whether it's Mason Rudolph or Will Levis, Jared Goff, no one's going to play him. I'm okay with it. Again, just not. They have such a high implied team total, 28.25 for Detroit. It's like maybe you go to Gibbs, 7,400. I'm seeing 20% of the field on Jahmyr Gibbs. David Montgomery is not dead, 6,400, 1% there. Like, they probably have the highest implied team total on the slate. Let me confirm that. They sure do. Higher, 3 points higher than Kansas City. So, yeah, it's like, you want exposure, maybe Tim Patrick. I don't know. I hate rolling the dice with these running backs, but if you just 3-2 game sack this one last week and use Jahmyr Gibbs and Amon-Ra St. Brown at little to no ownership, you would have done just fine because it was a very low-scoring week in DFS. I get it. Probably want exposure there. I just don't know where. You know, Tim Patrick at 3,500 over Cedric Tillman at 33. Like, you probably want Tim Patrick. See if we got any player props on Tim Patrick. For the sake of unity here, I got Underdog fired up here. Let's see if we got anything. For Tim Patrick, I see nothing. All right, cool. Well, there's like some weird touchdown thing, but I'm not into that. So, yeah, no ownership in this game. I'm on Ross St. Brown's in a good spot, but again, no ceiling type of game here. Sam Laporta, no ownership. Gross. We're going to move on to the next game. I think both defenses are in play. Tennessee's 2,200, so do what you got to do. Indy Houston, I do like this game a little bit. I do think there is some back and forth nature here. Houston's D is going to show, you know, they have a good mix of man and zone, a lot of cover three, some cover four, and a decent blitz against the cover three and the cover four. That is advantage Michael Pittman against a blitz. That is Michael Pittman and potentially the second outside wide receiver. I guess that's going to be Alec Pierce with a little bit of a Donnie Mitchell. I love this spot for Michael Pittman. Seems to be Anthony Richardson's guy. And they should be playing catch up. I think Houston comes out firing. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor back for Indy should help a lot. But, I mean, I don't know if CJ Stroud even threw for 100 yards last week. So they got to come back and get it rolling. In terms of the opening total, 46 was the opener. Houston laying 5. It is now 45.5. Houston laying 5. So not much change there. CJ Stroud, 0% ownership right now is what I'm seeing. I love this spot. We want to continuously pick on Indianapolis Colts. I know we did it last week at Wendaley, some of us, and failed miserably with Tyler Huntley and Tyreek Hill, but Jonnu Smith came through there and that was more on the inside coverage too. They're just using Janu in pretty cool ways, but I like Pittman here a lot. For Indy, it's pretty much all cover three, a little bit of cover two. It's a great spot for Dalton Schultz. I just wish they would use him, and a good spot for Stephon Diggs. I'm probably not paying that much for Diggs, but no ownership on either QB here. Joe Mixon, 7,700, just been a world beater recently. I'm seeing 15-plus on the ownership. Jonathan Taylor, 7,500, sub 5%. Can definitely run on Houston a little bit, especially with Aljair out. Two coming backs, a little bit of a hurt there. I mean, I loved Josh Jacobs last week. Jimmy Ward, probably highly questionable too. I don't think I want to go full into Jonathan Taylor, but sub 5% in the dome. These teams like to kind of have slugfest together in that division rivalry. I can see this game going back and forth. Stephon Diggs, sub 5%. Tank Dell, 2%, 6,300. Like, Tank Dell is going to get going here soon. I know I said advantage to Schultz and Diggs, but Tank Dell's baseline is still right there, and that is a higher baseline than previous weeks because, obviously, no Nico Collins. You could definitely go back Tank Dell and Michael Pittman as a mini stack here, or Dalton Schultz, something like that. Like, I do think this is a really good spot for Michael Pittman. Let's see if we have any props on those wide receivers, just to see what the market thinks. CJ Stroud, 240 passing yards, so a little lower than what we're used to seeing for him, but I see 4.5 receptions, 56 yards for Tank Dell. Let me give you my projection for Tank Dell. I have him for 4.71 catches and 59 yards, so right on market. No edge there, 5.5 catches, 63 for Diggs. So yeah, in just in terms of like props, he's not worth the price of admission unless he gets in the box twice, which is certainly possible. Dalton Schultz, 3 receptions, 30. I don't know. Dalton Schultz just doesn't do anything. And that's, he runs a ton of routes. He gets a lot of first downs on third down, but I don't know. Michael Pittman, no props released at the moment on Underdog. So yeah, I like this game. I think there's good little stackability and no ownership. Let's see Dalton Schultz, 2% ownership at 4,100. I do like him a good bit this week. Moving on to Green Bay, Jacksonville, which should be a pretty good game. Over under opened up at 48.5. Packers laying 3.5. They are laying 4 right now on the road, with the total bet up to 49 or 49.5, depending on where you're looking. So the public does think that this is a great game to get after in terms of pace. Jordan Love, 7,100, pretty expensive, but the guy throws for 2.5 touchdowns every single game. Probably leading the pack for me right now in terms of cash game quarterback play. And just not stacking with anybody, because again, I say it every single week, it is so hard to predict the Green Bay Packers passing attack, other than like it's going to be really good. You just don't know who's getting it. Dobbs run the most routes. Jaden Reed seems to be Jordan Love's guy, and now Dontavian Wicks is getting in there. Tucker Kraft, like, we still got Josh Jacobs. I don't know, it's tough. And Christian Watson, like, don't even mention him. 5,600 for Trevor Lawrence, 2% ownership. I see Jordan Love right around like 7% ownership, so I think both of those are fair. I like both of them. I think both of these guys can get moving a little bit. Josh Jacobs, 6,600. I'm seeing sub 10%. I see Tank Bigsby at 0% right now. I think that's just these optimizers that I'm looking at, like figuring out if ETN's there or not. So stay tuned. I mean, if ETN doesn't go, Bigsby's in a great spot. And you could 3-2 stack the shit out of this game, which I definitely am interested in doing this week. I like doing that more on bigger slates. Instead of trying to hit the nuts with all these random players, I like to get 2 or 3 games that I just say, if these games shoot out, my lineup can have success. And that's where I like using, you know, quarterback, 2 pass catchers, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, running back with a running back and a wide receiver, running back, tight end, whatever the case may be. That is what I mean by a 3-2 stack. Brian Robinson, 6,400. Jaden Reed, 7,700. There's no ownership in this game. That's surprising. I think it'll go up. Let's look at the coverage. For the Packers, mainly zone. They play a ton of cover 3, a little bit of cover 2. Sometimes some cover 1, but against all coverages, I have a big bump up to Evan Engram and Brian Thomas Jr. Christian Kirk seems to be just the odd man out, and it's been consistent. It's been a weekly thing since Evan Engram's came back, and Brian Thomas just is that dude. 6,400, still probably too cheap. I like that a ton for Jacksonville. We'll see a lot of man coverage, mainly cover 1 and cover 2. On the zone side of things, no blitz. And my notes for Green Bay, a mix of everyone. So no one really boosting up. I do see Jacobs getting a little bit of a projected boost against that cover 2 in the check down game. So, yeah, I mean, Romeo Dobbs, 5,700 is a great price for a guy that runs that many routes on the outside against a terrible secondary. But who knows? Maybe it's Christian Watson in the red zone. Maybe it's Dontavian Wicks. Maybe Jaden Reed gets a feast. I'm probably not paying $6,700 for Jaden Reed just because, again, I never know what week it's coming. Evan Engram, $5,000 flat. 6% ownership. I think that'll go up. That's a great price, great matchup. Love it. One of my sneakily favorite games here. Let's see the ownership. Is Arizona Miami opened up at a total of 46.5. It is sitting at 46 or 45.5, depending on where you're looking. Miami opened up as 3.5-point favorite at home. That is staying still. Quarterbacks, Kyler Murray, 6,400, 6% ownership. Tua, 6,100, 6% ownership. I think both these guys come well under that. I think this is kind of a forgotten game, but I love them both. I don't love Tua. I mean, the guy's one hit away from leaving the game at all times, but I like Tyreek and Achan being there because of Tua. And obviously, you could obviously, you know, always like Waddle if you want to, but I've never gotten that guy right. On the running back side of things, ownership, a ton for Devon Achan. I did not see that coming. I thought he'd be kind of forgotten with Javonte Williams and Kareem Hunt being right there. I'm seeing 27% ownership for Achan. So, whew, great matchup for James Conner at 6,500. No ownership there. You could use both these guys. Let's get into coverage here. Miami mixes up a lot. We'll see mainly cover three, but also a lot of cover two, or a good bit of cover two and cover one, a good bit of blitz. Against a blitz, that's going to be advantage Trey McBride and Marvin Harrison Jr. against a cover one. When they do show man coverage, that is going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. Against a cover two, that is more advantage slot. So potentially Dortch, I guess, and Trey McBride. Against a cover three, McBride and Marv. So the consistent guy seems to be Trey McBride here. I want to bet pretty heavily on Marvin Harrison Jr. here. I think this is a fantastic matchup for him. I don't even care if Jalen Ramsey like sees him half the day. Marv's route running and separation seems to be great on paper, and watching it, no fucking props on Marvin Harrison Jr. either. What are we doing here, underdog? Tyreek, 6 for 81. So yeah, they just needed Tua back for the market to open up, and Tyreek, damn. But yeah, so if we get like a 4.5 catch prop and the juice is on the over, there we go, 4 receptions, 49.5 yards for Marvin Harrison. The issue is, I guess, Arizona's not really passing very much, but both these teams play very quick. Let's go into terms of like pace. Indianapolis and who do we got there? Obviously, Houston. Houston's playing a little bit slower, so I do like that game ability to go back and forth. But Miami and Arizona both inside the top 10 in pace of play, so I do like this game a lot. Like I've already mentioned that many times. Just didn't see the ownership on Achan coming in that high. Damn. Wide receivers, Tyreek Hill, 20% owned. Everybody's going back. Damn. Marvin Harrison Jr., 6,800. I think the cheapest price we've seen him at. 3% owned. I like Marvin Harrison Jr. a lot this week. I think that's a great GPP play. Prop market doesn't really love him, but again, Kyler's passing prop is only like 208, so they obviously don't respect Arizona to pass very much, and we're not seeing it very much. Trey McBride, 5,500. Guy's pretty much a wide receiver at this point. Puts up wide receiver two, maybe low wide receiver one numbers. 12% ownership there. Other than Tyreek, there is no ownership. Tyreek and Achan, so that sucks because my first hand build is Tyreek and Achan running it back with Kyler, potentially Marvin and McBride. But I just don't think it's a great idea to double stack Kyler Murray when the passing volume just isn't there. Let's see what the 80 mile has for projected pass attempts for Mr. Murray. It's at 27. Yeah, it's just like, all right, we're obviously playing Kyler because his legs doesn't really make a ton of sense to double stack. But I have Marvin Harrison projected for 4.7 catches, 55 yards receiving. So there'll probably be a slight edge, depending on the juice, at 49 receiving yards. But we'll check that out and keep an eye on the betting sheet. I will keep you posted if I make a play on Marvin Harrison. As of now, I'm certainly leaning that direction. Moving on to the next game, we got the Jets at New England, where we have a very boring total here. Opened up at 41.5. It is now sitting at 41 or 40.5, depending on where you're looking. Jets are laying 7, opened and staying that way. I mean, do you really care about any ownership here? Maybe a sneaky spot for Aaron Rodgers just to pile it on after a dog shit showing on primetime football. 5,700 for him, 5% ownership. Drake May, 5,500, 5% ownership. No way Drake May comes in at 5% ownership. Breece Hall, 7,300, just a smash spot. I'm seeing 30% ownership there. That's where I feel like Achan probably won't come in that high, but Breece Hall's in a great spot. I don't see why a ton of people would go back there, though, just because I feel like the public is still worried about Braylon Allen. But yeah, everything Jets here. I think they beat the living shit out of them. In terms of coverage, I don't even think I really broke down a ton. The Jets are obviously going to play a lot of man, and they play a lot of cover four. I think that'd be DeMario, like advantage DeMario everywhere. DeMario Douglas there, so a good game script for him, 4,700. He'll probably be close to 10% owned. I'm seeing 8% right now. I'm seeing no ownership on the Jets wide receivers. So if you want to pay up for Davante Adams and what should be a statement game for Rodgers and company, or Garrett Wilson at 6,700, or just double stack it and hope that the Jets just keep going and don't need New England to push the pace on the other side, it's very possible because Rodgers is that type of guy. But yeah, not really into the whole situation. No ownership on the tight ends, Hunter Henry or Conklin. Probably a good game script for Hunter Henry. Tyler Conklin's just like, does he score a touchdown or not? Now that Davante Adams and Garrett Wilson are there. Moving on to the next game. The walking wounded Tampa Bay Bucks hosting the Atlanta Falcons. We have an opening total. Where is this game and why can't I find you? There we go. 45 was the opener. Atlanta laying 2.5. 45.5 bet up to 46 at some books. Atlanta still laying 2.5 on the road here. Quarterbacks, let's see what we got for ownership. I don't think anybody will play Baker. Yeah, 1% Baker. Kirk Cousins, 4%. I just don't see how Tampa can keep this game very close. They probably got to take the air out of the ball. Bucky Irving, again, we mentioned that toe injury. I think it is definitely severe, so we'll keep an eye on that. You know Kirk wants to throw it 37 times a game, which is great here. It's just, can Tampa Bay keep it close? I mean, the spread's close, so I guess so. Running backs, Bijan Robinson, 7,200, 17% ownership. I think that's a fair price and fair ownership for that price. Rashad White, 5,700. Just, I don't know. He's looks very, very slow to me, but going to get work in the passing game. On the coverage side of things, we have the Tampa Bay Bucks playing nothing but zone and a ton of blitz, mainly just cover three. It's going to be London against a blitz and a good mix of everybody. So that being, you know, checkdowns of Bijan, Drake London, Darnell Mooney, Kyle Pitts against cover three. So as much as I want to play Drake London, 15% ownership at 7,200, I'll probably pass just thinking this is not a ceiling spot for him. I like him more in the dome, but the guy's just getting 10 targets a damn game. So I think he's fair in cash, but 7,200, I want more of a ceiling. So I want a game that I can project going back and forth, and this is not one of them. I could certainly be wrong. But Atlanta, going to run a lot of cover three as well. Decent amount of blitz, pretty much all zone. Now that we have a wide open receiving core, everything that I wrote is advantage of the slot and the tight end. So that's Kate Otten, and I would assume Sterling Shepard goes into the slot. Jalen McMillan, I'm seeing 10% ownership. Trey Palmer, I'm seeing 15% ownership. Probably no interest in either of those guys if they're double digits. I have no interest in Trey Palmer. I would lean McMillan on the outside if I had to choose one. But I would lean Sterling Shepard here, having a very busy day. And I'm assuming as I flip to tight end here, all the ownership in the world is on Kate Otten. I see 4%. There's just no way that that's true. This guy's got to have wide receiver-like props. Let's see what that is. And Kyle Pitts' ownership is 10% at 4,400. I think we see an under there and way over on Otten. But if no one's going to play Kate Otten, what? Let's see. Kate Otten, where are you at, buddy? 47.5 receiving yards. There is no way I haven't projected for that. Let's see. But that's almost like you just take it. I have him for 38, so a little below market. I'm going to have to bump that up. I'm assuming they're saying 4.5 catches. But, I got to fix that projection because Mike Evans is still in there. So we will definitely fix that. I'm going to have Kate Otten very close to his market, probably over, I guess, once I run that simulation. But, yeah, good spot for him, good spot for Shepard. Probably not super interested on anything Atlanta related, but I will never talk you off playing Drake London or Bijan Robinson. Just not something I'm in the business of doing. We got Philly going to Cincinnati, a game I think should be a fun one. Opening total 47.5. Cincy laying 2, laying 2.5, laying 3 at some books right now. Total bet up to 48.5 at some books. They got Cincy as a favorite. That is interesting. I mean, we did talk about the line being banged up a little, like Mekhi Becton. I always flip those two for some reason. 7,500 for Jalen Hurts, 6% ownership. 7K for Joe Burrow, 6% ownership. Cool with either of them. I do think this game has a lot of shootout potential. 5,800 Chase Brown, I'm seeing 18% ownership. Saquon Barkley in a great spot. I know Cincy is better against the run than they are the pass, but Saquon Barkley behind this offensive line with or without Becton is fantastic. 8,300, you're paying for it though. In terms of coverage, not much ownership here either. That is very interesting. Okay, maybe this is a game we like. Eagles D, not going to blitz much. Middle of the pack in terms of man coverage rates. They mix up a lot of coverages. Everything that I went through says that T. Higgins gets a little bit of bump in the production, but Jamar Chase, like, there's nothing wrong I can say about Jamar Chase. He's a stud. He's just 8,500. That is tough to pay for. This is a great game environment. A.J. Brown on the other side, 8,200. Fantastic spot for him, too, but we will see a lot of, a good bit of blitz from Cincinnati. I would assume they maybe hold off a little bit in this game and try to spy Jalen Hurts. I would assume they lay off the blitz a little bit, mainly cover three and cover two. Do see a little bit of man coverage, but I got Devonta versus the zone, but his baseline is right there or better. So both the guys on the outside, Devonta does go in the slot a little bit more, and we see Dotson now go outside, but I like this spot for any pass catcher. I like this game. Tight ends. I don't think Dallas Goedert is going to play still. So Grant Calcantara, 3,200. I'm seeing 10% ownership. I have no fucking interest in that guy. I want to go outside here, which is A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. I guess Dotson, maybe you could sprinkle a touchdown prop or something stupid on him if you have interest in that game, outside of the pure obvious studs in the pass funnels there. Moving on to a gross game, the Chargers hosting the Saints, 7.5. The Chargers are laying opening total of 41.5, bet down to 40.5. Spread's still right there, 7.5. Not going to talk about the quarterbacks. You probably don't want to play any of these guys. I mean, Justin Herbert did throw for 300 yards last game, which you'd love to see that. I played him on the Monday night slate. It's just if you didn't have Lamar, you didn't have anything. So, oh well. Picked like the best day to play Herbert and still get nothing for it. J.K. Dobbins in a smash spot, 6,900, 10% ownership. Yeah. Interested there. Alvin Kamara, probably no interest. Short rest. And I don't know. I guess it's not short rest. It's long rest. I'm sorry. But dealing with a broken hand, apparently. I assume we see some more Kendre Miller eventually, but I'm not paying 7,600 for a bad matchup in general for Alvin Kamara, but he is getting a ton of passing work. Coverage. I mean, the Saints play a good bit of man coverage. Not much blitz. A little bit of cover two as well. I basically said it's like Ladd McConkey and no one else for the Chargers right now. And he's just a guy that's like, Ladd McConkey, I'm sorry, but like great hands, but he's just like a missionary guy. Like, you know, five receptions, 50 yards. That's what you get every single game. I don't know. 10 to 15 points doesn't really do it for me. 15 points would be great at 5,100, but again, I don't think Rattler and company gets the pace going here. Chris Olave is back. Chris Olave broke my week 2 weeks ago. I was very high on him, and I did kind of admit on the Win Daily stream that was probably a bad play. And I think I repeated the same mistake. Like, I used Rattler for the value. Probably should have just played Juwan Johnson with him and like kept it as a very low value stack to afford the world elsewhere and not jam in Chris Olave 2 weeks ago. And then last week, I probably should have done the same thing with Tyler Huntley and Jonnu Smith. Just play that. I know a lot of guys at Win Daily did and laid off Tyreek Hill. I went with Tyreek Hill. Just stay with the fucking value if you're going to do that way and load up with guaranteed studs. And I didn't do it because you could have survived a bad game from Tyler Huntley if you paired him with Jonnu Smith with how low scores were last week. No interest in the tight end side of things here. Another fun game. I think we will see a good bit of rain in Seattle, so keep an eye on that. But we got Seattle hosting the Buffalo Bills, opening total 47. It is sitting there pretty much, and the Bills laying 3. Let's go to the quarterbacks. I have nothing bad to say about Josh Allen. Sub 5% Josh Allen is always awesome. 7,800 has a very healthy wide receiver core right now and a lot of weapons with Shakir, obviously Amari Cooper, Keon Coleman's coming a little bit to life. You got Kincaid, you got James Cook, like Josh Allen. Maybe a great play here. I just hate that DK Metcalf is likely out for Seattle. Otherwise, I would have stacked the shit out of this game. Running backs, Kenneth Walker, great spot for him. You could run against Buffalo. Tony Pollard definitely seemed to have gotten a concussion last week, but came back out and still had a solid game. Didn't get in the box and didn't get a lot of pass catching work, and that game just got out of hand quickly. So not much love there, but I'm all for Kenneth Walker. This guy's a superstar. And I think you could run on Buffalo. I think that's probably what they're going to have to do is go pretty run heavy. James Cook, no ownership, 7K. That may be very interesting. I like that. On the coverage side of things for the wide receivers here, Seattle's not going to blitz much. A good bit of man and zone. Against cover one, it should be Dalton Kincaid and the X. The X is going to be Amari. Again, do we worry about a little bit of a pitch count and learning the playbook? Maybe. Against cover three, a massive boost to Khalil Shakir. So we should get some check down from James Cook, too. It's just like Ray Davis isn't going anywhere. I think his snap count's going up and up. So I don't love James Cook at 7K, but if you want a 3-2 stack this game, you know, James Cook with Khalil Shakir, James Cook with Amari, or even get a low-owned Kincaid in there. Let's check his ownership. I'm sure Kincaid's very low. 3%, like, yeah, 4,900. This is a really good spot. Maybe Josh Allen's the way to go. I just worry about, like, what does Seattle do on the other side? Buffalo is going to run pretty much all zone. They don't blitz at all. A good bit of cover two, but they do show pretty much cover three, cover four, a little bit of cover six. For Seattle, I said it's decently spread around, a big boost to the RB checkdown. So, yeah, I do like Kenneth Walker here. He seems to be very active in the passing game. And I guess if you want to play like a cheap Tyler Lockett, I'm assuming this is me assuming Metcalf is a no-go or, you know, Jackson Smith and the Jigba. I don't hate it. There's no ownership there. This game should have a good bit of back and forth ability. Teron Johnson is coming back, so that should help Buffalo secondary, but I do think Seattle can score. I like Grubb. I think he's a good schemer. Moving on to Las Vegas Raiders, probably get their ass kicked here hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. 41.5-point total. Man, the Chiefs just totals each game are just so low. Their defense is so good. They're getting it done just a different way. But they are laying 9 right now. 9.5, depending on where you're looking. Even 10 at some offshores out there. So that is very interesting. Probably no interest in Patrick Mahomes, but he's got to make a statement game eventually. Sounds like it's going to be Minshew playing quarterback. No ownership on either of those guys. Running back side of things, I'm sure Kareem Hunt's ownership is way higher than 15%. What I'm reading now, 6,300. Great spot. KC's offensive line's healthy. They're good to go. Alexander Mattison, 5,600. He's just not good. And you don't want to run on Kansas City. It's not, I mean, you can't really do anything in Kansas City right now. I love Xavier Worthy in this spot. 1% owned. I know DeAndre Hopkins is back, but I bet a prop of Xavier Worthy to score at plus 185. I wish that was 2-1, but 185 is the best number. I have him at plus 150 proper, so anything 30-point edge that I can get, I usually take. On the coverage side of things here for the Raiders, they play a lot of man, like a lot of cover one, and then a mix of cover two and cover three when they do go to zone, a lot of blitz. I have massive advantage to Xavier Worthy against a blitz, and Kelsey and Worthy against the zone and Worthy against the cover one. So it's like Worthy checks all three boxes. Not many guys have done that for me this week. I guess just to recap, it was Michael Pittman. I guess Brian Thomas Jr., Amon-Ra St. Brown, Trey McBride, and Tyreek Hill. So yeah, Xavier Worthy's in a very good group right now, but 6,200 in a game I just fear has no back and forth at all. I'm just going to bet him to score a touchdown. I don't think this is a big game for him. I think his value is more getting inside the box because we do see the jet sweeps and stuff instead of like a reception number, but I'd be interested in looking at that. I think it's a 40.5. I just don't know. I didn't have that big of an edge on that number. Mecole Hardman, like 4K, I want to play him, but I can't. Just such limited reps, but when he does, I still believe in this guy, man. If you guys know me, I've been talking about him forever, but I'm kind of eating my words a little bit. But he did score the last touchdown in the NFL season last week. Walk-off Super Bowl champs, Kansas City Chiefs, touchdown Harbin. Washington hosting Chicago. We got a total, I believe, that opened up at 43. Chicago laying 2.5. Total's pretty much sitting there. Maybe some books at 43.5. I don't think we're going to see Jaden Daniels. Was not practicing yesterday, obviously Wednesday. It's Thursday morning now. I'm assuming he's not going to practice, but keep an eye on that. Would be a great spot for Caleb Williams, but I do think Washington's defense is starting to piece it together a little bit. 7,300 for Jaden Daniels. No interest there. Even if he does go, Caleb Williams, 6K. A little bit of interest, but I worry about the back and forth, assuming that Jaden Daniels is not going to go. Running backs, there's no ownership. You can definitely run on Chicago, but I think Brian Robinson Jr.'s success has been because Jaden Daniels draws so much coverage and so much respect from opposing defensive coordinators. On the passing side of things, Washington's playing a good bit of man and a lot of blitz. They mix up cover one and cover two when they go to zone. Chicago's kind of been a mixed bag in terms of target share versus the blitz. DJ Moore's going to get the advantage in the cover one and Cole Kmet versus the cover two. For Washington, I just don't know. I don't want to talk about this game a whole lot because I do project Jaden Daniels being out. Last game of the day, another gross one. Denver Broncos have a 26-point implied team total. I've never seen them that high this year. That is impressive. That total opened up at 41.5. They are a double-digit home favorite, which is where we love to see running backs. So I'm assuming the world is going to love Javonte Williams. We'll see. Quarterback ownership, though, real quick. Bryce Young, no. Bo Nix, 5,600, seeing 5% ownership. I'm looking at Optimizer. WinDaily, I think the Optimizer there has him for like 19. I'm seeing one with 20. That's wild. Javonte Williams, only 12% ownership at 6K. I think it's a fine cash play. I don't know if I love it in tournaments because I thought everybody would go there and Kareem Hunt. And that's like Achan was my pivot, but I guess the public loves Achan currently. It is early, so we'll see ownership mature. No interest in paying $6,700 for Chuba Hubbard without Andy Dalton. Wide receivers, I have no interest in any Panther wide receiver. Bryce Young has been terrible. Love this spot for Cortland Sutton at 5,300, but I fear that Carolina will not score at all. And we're going to see like a lot of Audric Estime, some Jaleel McLaughlin, obviously Javonte leading the way to begin with. Maybe Troy Franklin gets a good run here. I don't know. I mean, all Carolina does is play cover three and blitz a ton. The boosts so far have been to Mr. Devon Vele, but I think his snap counts are going in favor of Troy Franklin now and then Sutton against the cover three. So, yeah, I mean, great spot for Sutton. No interest in these tight ends. But I greatly appreciate everybody's time. We got through a 13-game slate in under 45 minutes. I guess recap real quick. Let's just see who, like, my favorite plays are currently. It is very early, so check out the WinDaily stream on Sunday. I will be out of town, but my playbook will be out at WinDailySports.com. I guess favorite quarterbacks right now would be Josh Allen. You know, certainly I like Jalen Hurts and Joe Burrow, but I'm probably not going to pay for them. I would rather have Josh Allen if I go up that high. Mid-tier, I love Kyler Murray here. I think this is a great spot for him. I do think he'll pass a lot more than what we're actually seeing, but who knows? Miami is a good run funnel. And that's it. I don't think I want to pay down at all. You know, maybe Anthony Richardson or C.J. Stroud is very interesting to me. Running backs, I mean, anybody that's up top is in a great spot. Kenneth Walker intrigues me a lot at like 5% ownership. Joe Mixon against Indy. The guy just continues to go and go and go. Breece Hall is in a great spot. He's going to be very popular. Maybe that's a cash play. Devon Achan, I did not think would get that much ownership. Kareem Hunt, I feel like, is a staple. Wide receivers, you know, love the Philly-Cincinnati game. I like the value guys in that game, too, with, you know, Devonta Smith and T. Higgins. Love Tyreek Hill, but so does the world. But he's 7K. It's like eventually you just got to take it. And even said, too, fantasy owners play me this week. Brian Thomas Jr., I like him a ton. I like him every week. I think he's underpriced. Tank Dell, 6,300. I am ready to buy the dip on Tank Dell. I think this is a great spot for him. You know, the Seattle guys, Smith and Jigba and Tyler Lockett, I don't hate. Khalil Shakir, 5,900, I like a ton. Romeo Doubs, I like him. Like, it's just the Packers thing I never get right, so don't take my word for it. You know, there's a lot of values down there. We already talked about the 3K guys. Tight end, love Evan Ingram, love Trey McBride. I may go back to Dalton Schultz, but I got to stop doing that. And that's pretty much it. And Kate Otten, I still feel like his ownership has to skyrocket, so we'll see there. But good luck to everybody this week. Follow me on Twitter at StixPicks, StixPicks. Sign up at WinDailySports.com if you want to see all the projections, the playbook, all that good stuff. David Jones's article, he's been on a little bit of a heater. I think we got the game-by-game breakdowns. Everything that Tony's doing, too, has been fantastic. Promo code STIX, STIX. Good luck to everybody this week, and we'll catch you next week.